What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 493rd episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, SBJ, and with me is Will.
I had something really angry to say to start out the program this week, but I said to myself, you know what? I'm not going to do it. Peace on earth. Go on with your lives.
Now everybody wants to know, is this because your secret boyfriend left you?
Okay, there's no secret boyfriend.
Look, I forgot about this.
You have a boyfriend that you haven't told me about,
there
so therefore
no
it's
boyfriend.
Secret. But apparently not, because you just broke up. That's why this whole thing started this way.
That's right. We broke up because he was lactose intolerant. Yes.
Oh,
I
man.
In my life. Speaking only date soy intolerant people.
Of tolerance, Greg is here.
I am here. Hello.
Hello.
We went to the grocery store post-holidays, and there was nothing to purchase. The shelves were bare.
Can I mention, alert, Minnesota life alert, folks, before you move to Minnesota, please be aware, because this is very unlike any other place in the country. Number one, all of the grocery stores in Minnesota close at 4 p.m. on Christmas Eve, along with every restaurant, every fast food chain. If you want to eat on Christmas Eve and you don't have that food in your house, you're stuck going to the gas station like Will Anderson.
Incorrect. There were a number of Chinese restaurants that stayed open for Christmas
this
year. Everywhere.
That doesn't count. I wanted not Chinese food. Number two, Christmas Day, same thing.
Yeah, everything's closed.
Nothing's open except for the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
And Chinese food, unless you go to Greg's secret special Chinese restaurant, Chinese food in Minnesota, not that great.
Vietnamese food, though, is great.
True.
Two things. One, I've had way too much Chinese food since I've moved here. Doesn't make any sense.
There is no such thing as way too much. It is a wide variety of food that has many specialties. The problem is you will only eat one specific thing on any given menu. That is your problem. You could be having billions of delightful dishes, but you're like, if it doesn't have chicken in it and it isn't breaded and or oranged, I'm out.
Two chickens. I can do orange chicken and I can do sesame chicken. Thank you
very
much.
General Tso's chicken.
They're the same thing.
I don't know what
sauces.
General that is. I didn't study that war in school.
It's not a real general. They didn't exist. It was made up. It's an American makeup general. That's not a thing.
I don't know about his chicken. I'm not interested in it right now.
But you'll go to a fake colonel place and get chicken?
Yeah.
You'll go to a cartoon character in chicken.
Canes is not a war hero. Canes is technically a dog.
You'll get chicken nuggets from a dog. You get chicken nuggets from a 1940s cartoon character, but you won't get it from a fictional general.
Here's the real problem.
I hate this timeline.
I understand that McDonald's is closed on Christmas, but at 12:01 on Boxing Day, we need to open back up.
No,
because I need a McDouble.
You don't.
Let's talk about some Pokemon news.
Bop.
Not a lot this week.
End of the year. Everybody's done. Look, I checked out shortly off on Friday, and I have not checked back into any aspect of my life.
I have some fun Pokemon news that I hope is included on the docket that I never get to see for this program.
Uh-huh. You want to start off with the news? Let's start off with the news.
There is going to be a VGC tournament called... I don't know what the name is, but it's real dumb, and I real love it. It's basically, you have a team of six different Pokemon, but each one can only know one move, and that move is Metronome.
Yes.
Oh, the Metronome battle.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm into it.
I don't know when that opens, but it is a single battle.
December 22nd. It opened December 22nd.
Okay. It's a single battle. You can use Pokemon that have Metronome, can only have Metronome. No ball
is
guy
the
shirt.
Only move they can have is Metronome. They can only know Metronome.
They can know one move, Metronome.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
And there's no reason why you shouldn't be using Grimmsnarl.
And for those who are unaware, Metronome, basically when it goes off, it randomly selects any other Pokemon move that exists and does that one.
Yes. I suppose there is some strategy of like switching and, you know, if you have like a, well, if you're like against a Clefairy and you're a Hitmonchan, you probably don't want to stay out in front of the Clefairy.
But it's Metronome.
What if the Clefairy uses Dazzling Gleam? It gets the stab. You're super effective. A Dazzling Gleam from a Clefairy probably going to be more than a Dazzling Gleam from
How many total Pokemon moves are there in the world that it can pick literally any one
I
of
mean,
like, it, the thousands?
It's going to go for Explosion. Because that's the real winning metronome move, Explode. Explosion,
yeah,
Self-Destruct.
Yeah,
destruct.
And then you're
those
like, I
want
to make sure all my Pokemon are ghosts in case the Explosion happens.
Can any ghosts learn metronome?
I don't know. They do give you a list of the Pokemon that are
allowed.
Yeah, eligible.
There's like 40 Pokemon that are allowed.
Unfortunately, the only prize is 50
BP.
BP. Yes. 50 BPs.
If we're calculating 50 BP versus between Sword and Shield and Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl, 50 BP is an incredible prize. Because boy, that is like hot gold in Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. Like people.
Unfortunately, this is only available in Sword and Shield.
Yes. Our second bit of news here is off Serebii. The Pokemon Company has opened the Pokemon DP Sound Library for a limited time. This allows you to listen to all 149 songs from Pokemon Diamond and Pearl as free as listen to set playlists. You also have the ability to download the music as long as it's not used for profit. It also provides downloads of the music sheets for the following themes: Route 201, Lake, and Battle Wild Pokemon. The website is region locked to Japan.
Well, good thing I have ExpressVPN.
I don't know if we got any more ads for them, but
I mean, it still works whether we have ads for them or not.
A third bit of news here for the week is off Pokemon.com. Battle Pass 4 now available. This includes Concert style Pikachu and Dark Suit style Absol. Battle Pass is titled Agent of Disaster. It will offer 60 levels, unique rewards, complete 3 missions per day to level up the Battle Pass, weekly and seasonal events to unlock rewards, can exchange AO gems, all that stuff.
Is this for Unite?
This is for Unite. Did I not say that? Sorry.
No.
Pokemon Unite Battle Pass. You know, the Battle Pass 4 in Sword and Shield, really.
They could have a Battle Pass in Pokemon Masters.
They could. They have not. Look, Masters has many ways to get your money at this point. Mm-hmm. Greg, you're still off the Master, or you're still off the Unite bandwagon, right?
I had a friend who said, oh, we could play Unite on Christmas Day. And I was like, oh, fun, I'll fire up my Switch when I'm back from family stuff to play Unite on Christmas. You know what that friend didn't do on Christmas?
Get a shiny.
They didn't
Torkoal.
Play Unite. I was prepped. I had my dogs on me. I brought my Switch out, put the Switch in front of me. I completed my Magearna Christmas gift, waiting while watching my friend on my TV to get prepped to play Unite, and Unite never happened.
Was it me? Because I was watching Star Wars movies out of sequence.
No, it was not you.
Okay.
It was somebody else in this call.
Empire Strikes Back is a white Christmas.
Yeah, it is. It
starts out on Hoth. Unfortunately, I have been watching... here's the Will Anderson Star Wars movie sequence. Watch episode 9, watch episode 7, watch episode 8, watch episode 5, watch episode 4, watch episode 6. Don't watch the first three.
Valid. So, no, to answer your question, Steve, I have not gone back on the Unite bandwagon because I was going to play with a friend of mine, and that friend let me down.
Sounds like a pretty lousy friend.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, Unite's a thing.
Dang,
I mean, I even have 2 new Pokemon to play in that game. I have Decidueye and, what's her name?
Zarina.
Zarina.
Hey, make sure you get your Zarina. You have until the 31st to get her for free.
Yeah, so just log in and grab it.
Dragonite.
But you have to log in on a mobile device?
No, it can be whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
The thing is, though, when I logged into my Switch, it's like, oh, you need to log into your mobile for some reason. It does this weird thing where it makes me log in my mobile first, and then I can log into my Switch, and I don't know why it's doing that. Granted, this is weeks ago.
Since?
And I haven't picked it up since because, you know, again, I was going to play with a friend, but that friend.
So I completed Battle Pass 1.
Mm-hmm. I did too.
Which was the Pirate Score Bunny at the end.
Yep.
And then Battle Pass 2 I did not complete. I got to like 40 of 60. That was the Gengar. And that was on the podcast where I was like, should I pay just to complete it? And then it was too late. I missed that ship has sailed. And then but that's not to be confused with the ranked battle season of season one, which I got to master rank or whatever. And ever since the Gengar thing ended, so season two battle pass, I have not played really. I think I've maybe played maybe less than 10 matches in the third battle pass, which was Jungle Venusaur. Sun Sunshine, I think was the name of that battle pass, which was season two of ranked, but season three battle pass. So I only got to like level 10 in that battle pass. They got an easy $8 out of me. And then the Absol one just started, which is season four, but we're still in season two of ranked. So I have not moved anywhere in the rank ladder because I haven't played. And I bought the Absol Battle Pass, and then I bought the Cramorant skin because they finally gave my boy a skin. So I'm giving Unite money. I'm just not playing Unite. And to be fair, you would think like, oh, you're upset. But I'm really happy, honestly. I don't, like, I gave it money. I got the boost of like, wow, my favorite Pokemon has a skin now. And then I didn't get the anger of playing. So really, Unite is a pretty great game, honestly.
The anger of playing.
I did play in that tournament, but that was on that was not on my account because we had to use like the Twitch like fair play accounts or whatever. So there was like no.
Yes.
Yeah. I did play in that tournament. I want to play Unite, though. I do actually want to play Unite. I want to go back to it. I know like the finish screen is different. I know they changed some things. I know there's that holiday event. So I do want to go back to Unite before the end of the year. This is off PokemonGoLive.com. Ring in 2022 with a New Year's event. Trainers, happy 2020 from Slowpoke. Wait, why is Slowpoke still wearing those glasses? At least Slowking got the memo. That's right, our New Year celebration is around the corner. Look forward to Pokemon wearing new costumes, themed avatar items, and the return of some familiar Pokemon wearing party hats, and a certain shiny Pokemon appearing for the first time in Pokemon Go. Spoiler, it's Hootoot.
Okay, at this point, I'm just going to state the only thing I'm going to have left in my Pokemon Go game are hatted monsters. Because I keep catching them, and I'm like, I should probably hold on to this. So then I make space by getting rid of the things that can go into home. Mm-hmm. And the other day, I looked, and I'm like, I think half of the Pokemon that I have in my Go app are hatted Pikachu of some sort.
I just caught a Santa hat Pikachu this morning.
I did the thing that I told myself I wasn't going to do.
You bought more space.
I bought more Pokemon space. I don't know what to throw away anymore. I have 3,000 Pokemon.
Just send them to home. It's not throwing them away.
Yeah, you can only send like 6 Deoxys a week. The Deoxys economy is very plentiful. So just for some context, maybe we have some new listeners or something. I have never in the 5 years of this game transferred a legendary Pokemon because I have probably paid $1 to get that Pokemon and they're legendary. Like, I can't breed legendary Pokemon. I can put a spirit tomb in the daycare and I can ride my bike for days and make tons of boxes. Like, I can be swimming in Spirit Tomb. I can't do that with like if I back in the day when we had to walk uphill in the snow.
Oh, here we go.
To Target and then uphill
both ways
in the rain back from Target. If you wanted a Zekrom in Pokemon Black or White, I'm not sure which game that one is in.
White.
They did the color reverse. Yep. You had to play through like 4/5 of the game, catch the Zekrom, transfer it, then start your game over and do it again. They're not handing out Zekroms like they are Eevees. So I cannot imagine like on a raid day where I'm like, I'm going to try to shiny hunt Entei and then do like 13 raids, which was probably like $10. and then throw away the other Entei. It's like, no, they're going to home, or they're staying in Go and they're being used because they're being used for... I can't throw out a legend. That being said, out of my 3,000 Pokemon, most of them are not legends. I don't know what to throw. I have unknown. I have like multiple of every letter.
Send
but
them to home.
I don't want to... Well, I have unknown in home. I don't need to send those to home. They're just unknown. But...
Yeah, but you can put them in home and then they're out of your Go. What are you going to use them for in Go?
To trade, because unknown are rare in Go. So if someone, like, we met up with James, and James was missing, like, an H, I think. Didn't have an H. I was like, I got every letter. Which letter you need?
I gave James an S.
Well, you didn't give him an H?
Well, I can only do one special trade a day now, couldn't I?
Well, when I was in TwitchCon, like, 2 years ago, I was missing D. I was like, does anyone have the D? I need that. And then I got a D, and it ended up being lucky, so I got a lucky D. That was cool. This is a weird conversation.
If you expect us on a family show to continue that conversation with you, that is not going
to
happen.
How else am I supposed to say I have an unknown D that is lucky?
Save it for leftovers.
That's one of my only lucky unknowns, the letter D. So I don't want to throw away unknown either. And then I have like 40 Corsola.
Okay, Corsola, everybody's got a Corsola by now.
I got like 40 Torkoal, I got 40 Chatot, I got 40 Relicanth, I got...
Here's the only Corsola that matters is the one that you got when we were in San Antonio and drove out to that weird Baptist church that we had to like drive under the entryway of their parking lot thing.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember
that? For that one spawn.
But then there's also, like, old Pokemon. Like, oh, these are all the Pokemon I caught in 2017. I don't want to throw these away because these are good for lucky trade fodder.
The mental prison you have put yourself into.
Totally. Totally.
Is believing that somebody needs one of the unknown. When they keep releasing them and they keep showing up in special events, what you've decided is that you have to hold on to these so you can give somebody a shortcut.
But they're only showing up at events that people, like, paid events, right? Like, when's the last time a normie, a non-ISE listener, like, you would, like, the last event they showed up at was the Safari Zone stuff, which was, you had to buy tickets 2 years ago.
If they really wanted it, they'd pay the money.
I like training people.
You are deciding.
Also, what's the importance of lucky Pokemon? Are you
nothing.
Using these Pokemon to participate in the cups, in the battles?
You could. So
Mr. Tsurumi, getting any benefit from lucky Pokemon?
Yes. I have like a lucky Tyranitar and a lucky Mewtwo and a lucky couple other Pokemon that are easier to power up. So if
four.
I'm four raids. So,
but okay,
like
but
if you
unknown
will,
D anonymous D is not going to get you that.
That's true. That wasn't a set lucky. I think that was just like random lucky. Sometimes you just get lucky with the lucky.
And you can get rid of the doubles of the unknown that you have in your phone and just keep one of each letter.
Yeah, but what
for those people
like,
who
I'm
might
missing,
be missing something.
I'm missing T. I got many T's.
So you keep one and then you trade it away and you know you have plenty of T's in home. Why do you need it in your... Do you honestly think there are going to be 50 people who are going to come to you and say, we are all missing T, please give us 50 T?
This feels like an AA meeting right now.
You can go one. You can keep
again,
one of each unknown letter and put the others in home.
I have already accepted.
And you'll be fine.
I've already accepted that I am not going to have an active living Dex in Go. I've accepted
Why
that.
Why would you?
Because for the longest time it was like, well, I want a Bulbasaur, an Ivysaur, a Venusaur. I want a Charmander, Charmeleon, like, I understand.
I mean, I have that. Why don't you have that?
Because I don't have room.
These are the mental prisons you put yourself in.
And it's also, it's like, make a choice. Either have the living Dex.
I have the living. I have the living Dex in home.
Or have, no. You said you wanted living Dex and Go. Either have the living Dex and Go, or have a bunch of extra useless Pokemon sitting there clogging up your arteries until you have a heart attack and die. That'd make your choice.
Yeah.
They got me, though. I was out of town, and I only had, like, 20 Pokemon space left, and I deleted everything back to Safari Zone that we went to in St. Louis, and I was like, I still only have 20 spaces left. Like, I don't know what else to delete, and I'm about to do 2 community days in a row outside with my Pokeball Plus for several hours. I'm just going to buy more storage. I'm just going to give them the $4 and increase my storage space.
You need to just go through and look at each and every individual Pokemon in Pokemon Go and say, does this Pokemon spark joy? And if not...
A lot of them do.
Goodbye.
But a lot is not all.
They can't all.
A lot is not all. Get rid of your extra unknown. Quit pretending that
unknown
you're
is the problem.
Benevolent gifter.
I would wager to bet unknown is like 100 of the 3,000.
Okay, but you just paid for what? 50 more space?
100 more space.
$4?
It's permanent, though.
So if you got rid of 100 unknown that you're just hanging on to so you can seem cool, you didn't have to spend that $4.
Look, if I could quickly transfer the 50 shiny Duskull, that would also have saved me $2, but I can only do, like, 6 Duskull a week.
Then delete the rest.
I'm not
you have
throwing
four,
away a
you
shiny.
You have 4 weeks between community
oh my
days.
Goodness gracious.
That is 24 Duskull you could have been transferring.
You're right. You're right. Speaking of Hoo-hoo hats, though,
is shiny.
From December 31st, 10 p.m. to January 4th, 8 p.m., the fireworks will appear in the game. The story for the Season of Heritage will continue. You will get twice the hatch Stardust, twice the hatch Candy, twice the hatch Distance. There will be some new timed research. You can get the following Pokemon. Party Hat Bulbasaur, Party Hat Charmander, Party Hat Squirtle, Party Hat Raticate, Party Hat Nidorino, New Year's Hat Pichu, New Year's Hat Pikachu, New Year's Hat Raichu, 2020 Glasses Slowpoke, 2021 Glasses Slowbro, 2022 Glasses Slowking, Party Hat Gengar, New Year's Hat Hoot Hoot, Party Hat Wurmple, Party Hat Wobbuffet. All of those that I named can be shiny, except for the Raichu, which doesn't have the shiny symbol, which I'm assuming cannot be shiny in the wild, but if you evolve the Pikachu, it can't, like...
But can you evolve the Pikachu?
Yes.
That. Usually you can.
Pikachu is usually the one Pokemon that can evolve with hats.
Yes. I have a question, though.
I feel like there should be an asterisk on this right shoe that like, explains.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
My question is, and you that knows the Pokemon Go community much better than I do, where is the outrage that they have made Hoot Hoot the surprise shiny special for this event? When they have already said that in February, a mere 2 months away, all Johto Pokemon will be shiny capable.
Uh-huh.
So they've basically given us nothing.
No, they've given us Hoot Hoo with a top hat and a bow tie.
But
it's
incredible. No. The way that they're advertising it is this is the first time that Hoot Hoot can be shiny. And it's like, yeah, but it was going to be shiny anyways. You already told us that. So now you're just taking my money.
Look, if you have fallen into Niantic's tricks after 5 years, that's your fault.
What I'm trying to point out is the Pokemon Go community gets irrationally angry about a bunch of stuff, and yet for some reason they're not angry about this thing, which has some amount of rationality to it.
I think they were just angry at the amount of hats being released over the...
There are too many hats. Again, look, my Pokedex is full of hats. I don't
We
need
have
any
said
more hats.
In this program for years, Japan loves hats.
They do. They do.
They
the,
do
the
love
Japanese
hats.
Pokemon Go player base is obsessed with these hats. The Silph Road, r/Silph Road, for the most part, hates the hats. That r/Silph Road is a very small part of the overall Pokemon Go American English-speaking community, I should say. But we do know that the Japanese audience loves hat Pokemon. Americans, undecided. I like the hats. I do think there are a little too many hats here, but it's like 5 days. It's really not that big of a deal. It's like literally like 5 days. 31st to the 4th. I don't know. I don't think it's the end of the world. 5 days of hats, you could pretty much ignore them if you don't want to. They're ruining your other spawns. I don't know. Maybe if you're getting that mad over your game, I'm sure you can take like 4 days off and just like relax. Things will be normal again once they're done. The following Pokemon will be available in the wild. New Year's Hat Pikachu, Seal, 2020 Glasses, Slowpoke, New Year's Hat Hoothoot, Stantler, Party Hat Wurmple, Loudred. If you're lucky trainers, you may encounter a Fearow. I believe the reason Fearow was picked is because its Pokedex number is 22.
Oh.
Ho, ho, ho.
Some logic there. Hey, going back to the hat conversation.
Too many hats.
I don't think I've wanted to actually actively shiny hunt a Pokemon in a long time until this Hoothoot appeared. Like, yeah, I would love the Stantler with the bells. Yeah, I would love the purple Delibird. Yeah, Sfeel with the scarf, pretty rad. This Hoothoot, though, there's something about it. I want it.
Well, the something about it is it's got a bow tie like its far superior owl cousin, Rowlet.
Yes. It's just doing a Rowlet cosplay, basically.
It's Rowlet cosplay.
It's really good.
It's fine.
How are you going to feel when the first Hoothoot hat and bow tie Hoothoot you encounter is the shiny one and you have no reason for anything anymore?
Hey, I'm okay with that.
I have a shiny Stantler with bells.
I don't. I would like one. One star raids will be 2020 Glasses Slowpoke, New Year's Hat Hoothoot, Party Hat Wobbuffet, and Mawile. Three star raids would be Party Hat Raticate, Party Hat Nidorino, Machamp, Party Hat Gengar, 2020 Glasses Slowking. Five star raids will be Kyurem. And then the mega raids right now are Mega Abomasnow. There will be field research tasks that will get you the Slowpoke, the Hoothoot, Party Hat Bulbasaur, Charmander, Squirtle. 7K eggs will have the Bulbasaur, Charmander, Squirtle, Slowpoke, Hoothoot, Pichu, and Wurmple. There will also be 2022 glasses, a New Year's headband, a New Year's jacket, New Year's pants, New Year's shoes. I'm into these clothing, Greg. Do you see the gold clothing they put in the store? Looks good.
Is it?
Yeah.
No.
I like gold.
It's fine.
It's fine.
I guess.
Okay.
I look at it and I'm like, if I'm wearing a jacket, why are we Miami Vicing the t-shirt? Like, this is such a weird 80s style, and I think that's what turns me off of it.
I thought you liked the 80s.
I liked the 80s. Because it's my childhood.
Not but, all the 80s.
But not all of the 80s. And the Miami style clothing, the sport coat with a t-shirt under it, was never one of my favorite things.
Transformers, good. Trickle-down economics, bad.
This is off Niantic's actual website, NianticLabs.com, the Niantic Recap 2021. 2021, what a year. In our new Niantic Recap, we take a look back at exploring the world together. We inspired billions of kilometer meters walked, millions of friendships made, and all new way spots found to be discovered. Thank you to our explorers, lightship developers, industry partners for coming, and all of our Niantics for coming along with this journey. So the number, where's number 10? Okay. Countries walked the most. Number 10, Japan.
I was going to say United States.
I thought Japan would be higher, but I guess they do have a lot of public transport.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty small country.
Relatively small.
Number
sure.
9, France. This is countries that walked the most.
Ooh la la.
Number 8, Canada. Number 7, the United States.
Dang, we got outwalked? Oh, I bet Scotland's like number 1. Thanks, Al.
Number 6, Great Britain.
Yeah, they didn't even cut it down to smaller numbers. All right.
Number 5, Spain. Number 4, Germany. Number 3, this is a very forgotten thing in the Pokemon Go community. Specifically, walking? English players don't ever think of this. Number 3 is Brazil.
Brazil.
Yeah. There is a huge, huge Pokemon Go player base
very
in Brazil.
Very true. And it's also, it gets cold there. But most of the country, it's not cold.
Number 2, Taiwan. And the number 1 most walked country, South Korea.
Ah. Is this per capita or is it just total miles walked?
It's
per player is what it says on the
per player.
The
so yeah, Korea would be like 9.4 kilometers per player. Japan would be 3.09
that,
kilometers
that's
per
that's the problem.
Player.
It's since we have so many players that the number of players who barely go anywhere is like pulling down the average for the other yeah. players who walk a lot.
I'm curious if they did the actual average or if they sort of compensated for
like you had to be active within like the last 6 months or something.
Well, that or also like how many if they did anything like what's the, you know, what's the, I forget, is it the mean or the mode, whichever one is like the most common player type, what they walked instead of, because, you know, it's like if you have one person that makes $1 an hour and you have another person that makes $1 million an hour, like, yeah, technically everybody makes an average of $500,000, but that's not a great picture of what's actually happening. Yeah.
There were 2 million players who walked on average 5 kilometers a day. What is 5 kilometers in freedom units?
It's just about 3.1 miles.
Got it. 3.8 million new way spots were added in 2021. 4.42 million visits to Taipei, Taiwan. 17.9 million visits to the Grace Plaza in New York City.
Gracie Plaza?
Oh, Gracie Plaza. Sorry. The font is very
does
small.
It have an I in it?
No.
No.
Oh, then it would just be Grace Plaza. Because Gracie Mansion is where the mayor of New York lives.
Mm. We'll skip over the Ingress stuff because I don't know what's happening in Ingress. 3.9 billion eggs hatched. 10.269 billion Pokemon caught during 2021 community days. And then 12 billion gifts were given. And then for Pikmin Bloom, 63 million flowers planted, 338 billion steps, and 113 million Pikmin grown. Some highlights here from Niantic. Held our inaugural hybrid Pokemon Go Fest, bringing back the in-person experience that makes the event so memorable. We hosted 47 meetups in 30 cities over 20 states. They have furthered their investment in AR mapping, ad tech, platform tools, and community through 5 acquisitions. Launched the first ever Niantic brand film, Meet You Out There, bringing to life our mission. Shipped new games, Transformers Heavy Metal in soft launch, and Pikmin Bloom, that gave new people new ways to connect and play together. And they opened
what
their...
What is Transformers Heavy Metal?
Oh, you didn't know they're making a Transformers game?
Yeah, that was in there in the video. You have to watch the Niantic video about all the games that they
made. I am not
make.
Watching two-minute propaganda films.
Well,
I'm a child of the
80s. Uninformed.
I know what it was like to get propaganda film from both Russia and America, and I'm not into it.
Opened our Lightship platform to enable developers to enable a new wave of engaging real-world AR experiences. I'm still playing Pikmin. I'm still liking it.
I play it every day.
I did that Pikmin Community Day on Pokemon Community Day.
As did Greg and I.
It's just night. You just turn it on and you go back to Pokemon and it's good.
What I find hilarious is that the Pikmin Community Day goals are walk 10,000 steps, which with the new one, that's like throughout the entire day, not time delimited.
Yeah.
I pretty much walk 10,000 steps every day. Anyways, it's like this is not a goal.
I definitely don't, depending on what's happening. But
oh yeah,
I did find out that my steps didn't count because there's a while that remember while I was playing Pokemon Go, my network freaked out for a while.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that stopped my steps from counting in Pikmin.
I was saying this on my Twitch stream. For some reason, because Pikmin is translated in steps, it feels better than, like, maybe because I just never learned kilometers in school. But, like, yeah, like, I have a 2K egg or a 7K egg. It just seems harder to hatch because, like, I don't know what that is in my head versus, like, oh, I've walked 500 steps for this Pikmin. If I walk another 500 steps, it will bloom or it will pop out of the ground or whatever it is. Or when it's like, your personal best yesterday was 5,000. You only have to do 700 more steps. And it's like, 700 steps seems very doable right now. I kind of wish there was like a toggle in Pogo to be like, I want miles, I want kilometers, I want steps.
Called Imperial.
Is that what? Wait.
Metric or Imperial.
Metric or Imperial. Well, just think of it this way. 2K eggs are roughly a mile. 3K, 5K eggs are
how many
roughly
steps is a mile?
3 miles. What? How
depends
many
on
steps?
How big your feet are.
How big your feet are. Like, we've pre-proved in the mall that my steps, because I walk shorter steps than you do, my steps are different than your steps.
Yeah. I like the steps, though.
But, yeah, but, like, our steps are going to be different.
Yeah,
they go by distance.
All red
Pikmins
are 1,000 steps. So I don't really care if you walk faster than me. I just like I like the steps more. It just feels easier to accomplish in my head.
Yeah, but I'm just saying,
enable,
like,
you to not have to learn anything the American way.
Correct.
Yes.
I'm
but
very dumb.
Also, since they picked distance for Go, they can't translate that into steps.
They can do whatever they want. It's their video game.
I'm saying, like, they would have to change how
wouldn't
they calculated
steps
those
make
eggs.
More sense, though? In the main series game, it's like Dratini is 3,500.
Well, they make sense today. They didn't make sense 5 years ago.
Well, let's get with the times, Niantic.
Well, if we're going to say Niantic
get
with the
Pokemon
times.
Go complaints. Watch them switch to steps.
Also, another thing about Pikmin is they give you the, like, two free whatever planters.
Yeah.
And I feel like that makes such a difference.
Over one free incubator?
Yes. Like, if Niantic was like, here is, you can get another permanent incubator. It is $35, but it is permanent. I'd be like, yes, please. Something about having two instead of one, much better.
That's you.
Like, I have no desire. Okay, even with Pikmin, there's no surprise, right? Like, you're planting a purple one, you're planting a pink one, you know exactly what's happening at the end.
That's not true. I could plant one of those large bowls, and then you never know what's going to pop out of that.
That's true. That one is a surprise.
What sticker or ornament they're going to put on. I got no Christmas Pikmin. I'm
yeah,
a little upset about that.
But in Pogo, it's just like, I had a bunch of incubators over Community Day. Because I sit on incubators, because I normally save my incubators on a day where it's like double hatch candy, half incubator distance, special eggs. I'm already going to be walking. I was like, okay, we're out here walking in 80 degree weather. Let's load up this incubators. And it's like Fletchling, Duskull, Squirtle. I'm like, none of these are exciting. Why would I have paid money for this experience? But in like Pikmin, it's like, I know I'm getting two red ones. And I'm very happy when they hatch, and then I put the two purple ones in, and then like 30 minutes later they hatch, and then I put the.
So you got bad egg strats. You got to load up on jam up your egg storage with 2K eggs until there's a good event. Then you clear out all those 2K eggs as fast as possible and collect the good eggs from the event, and then you only have good eggs.
No, they were not good eggs. They were giving me fletchlings. I don't want that.
Well, then you didn't listen to whatever program needed to tell you what was going to be in those eggs so you'd know whether they were going to be good or not.
It's not like I had a choice, Will. Those were the only eggs happening anyways.
Then you used your incubator on the wrong day.
Before we move to Question of the Week and Pokemon of the Week, because this is not a terribly long episode this week, Will, where are you in Shining Pearl and Brilliant Diamond? I'm very mad I said those backwards.
I have just the my latest gym was Byron, and I'm going around looking at all the it just frustrates me because I listen to Sincerely Sinnoh as I complete these different segments, and I'm like, you will notice in Pokemon of the Week how I feel about Sincerely Sinnoh. Don't.
It was a good program.
Don't get too excited.
Great, yeah. 9 episodes.
Yeah. Okay.
But solid episodes. Solid episodes. Yes.
Greg, they blew up one lake.
Uh-huh.
And then, for those of us who were paying attention to the dialogue, when that lake blew up, the other lake spirits came out of their little holes. And that's when Team Galactic caught them. That's why they didn't have to blow up the other lakes.
But Team Galactic didn't know that was going to happen.
But that's okay. They were ready. They were Boy Scouts. Always be prepared.
None of them said they had bombs. Also, none of us knew what Team Galactic's plans were. They blew up one lake.
Either
it was
way,
absolutely
that's where I am.
Very
that's
possible for them to have been
Except
blowing
I've
up
decided
the other
to
lakes.
Go down. I listened to Greg. I decided to go down to the Iron Island before I go up to Snow Point. So yeah. We're working on
can
that.
Can I agree with Will here in at least Team Galactic had somewhat of a plan compared to whatever the heck Team Flare was doing in that entire game.
Team Flare had a plan. You just didn't understand what it was.
I don't think they understood what it was, besides like wearing red suits. I don't know.
Look incredible.
Uh-huh.
Slay. What more do you need? Slay. Nothing. You need nothing more. You don't need to blow up the universe. You don't need to blow up a lake. You just need to look hot and be there.
Here's my weekly complaint about Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl.
Why did I let this happen?
Number one is I think Greg dislikes this game more than I do.
Not based so sure about of? That. Not from what I've heard.
Hey, I'm
what
still
are
playing
you basic,
it.
What, so am I. What are you basing that off of?
Your tweet.
My tweet that I am contemplating not playing the game again? Do you want to play all Shining Pearl?
No, I don't
do you,
think I
right
want to play
now. Would you stop playing Shining Pearl to start up a whole new game of Brilliant Diamond?
What if it was like a Nuzlocke? Yes.
Okay, so that is where I'm at. Except I don't have an audience that's like, let's watch you do this. It is me sitting in my house. So my statement of normally I would be very excited at this point to start up the second game.
You would not want to Nuzlocke alongside me?
If you said, hey, let's do...
Oh, don't forget Pokemon Unite, Greg.
I know. Believe me. I know that this is a lie. But if you said, yes, let's Nuzlocke together, and then, like, after every gym, I'll come over and we'll do a battle with our teams, then that would get me to play that game.
Interesting. Here's my complaint. When you get to Rampardados Park, where you catch the Mewtwo's and the Reggie Rocks and all that stuff,
yes.
There's a lady in there, small spoiler, she asks for a Pokemon that eats a lot and sleeps a lot. I'm going to spoil who that is. Snorlax. You show her a Snorlax. She gets all excited. She gives you something. I don't remember what it is. That's not important. You then
She gives you the calorie counter.
Oh, yeah.
She gives you a Fitbit.
She gives you like the cooking timer.
Yeah.
You then leave and come back in because that's the only way to regenerate her to have new dialogue. And then she's like, I want a Pokemon that changes colors. Spoiler, the answer is Kecleon. Here's my complaint. If you were playing Shining Pearl and you were trying to collect all the Poketch watches. There's 20 of them. No one's doing that. There's 24 in Platinum. I don't remember what the four are, but, you know, faithful remake. Kecleon is a version exclusive to Diamond. You can't even get all the Poketches in Pearl without needing to trade. There, Diamond does not have this disadvantage. They can get all 20 just fine. But what?
What a stretch for a complaint.
It is
what
a complaint.
A stretch.
I can't think
complaint.
Of another Pokemon game where it's actually hiding a feature. It's not a very good feature.
But I mean, hiding a post-game feature on a bad watch that you aren't using anyways mm-hmm. is
the principle,
like,
Greg. It's the principle.
What are you even talking about?
It's not. It would be. I think it would feel better. This is a stretch of a complaint. I think it would feel better if, like,
correct.
If Diamond had one watch face that was like, oh, you need, what's a Virgin exclusive in
Glammeow.
You need Glammeow to get this, and then in this game you need Murkrow to get that. Encourages trading, but it's so what it's one sided on Pearl's side that I will say this: out of all the Poketch watches. Tons of people in my Twitch chat. How'd you change the color of your Poketch? How'd you change the color of the Poketch? Why is your Poketch purple? How did you make your Poketch? It was look, people want it. You can say it's a useless feature. People want the color changing.
People want anything to make that game exciting. Like, that's hardly
and it's hidden
bar.
Behind a Kecleon.
But, like, you're at the part of the game where you're trying to complete the Pokedex anyway, so you would have to trade
mm-hmm.
it. Like,
mm-hmm.
you have to be doing that anyways to get the National Dex, to get Rotom, to get all of these things. Like, it is part and parcel of everything that's happening in the game, so it's slightly one watch face is hidden in one game.
Yeah, it's
this
weird.
It's just a weird thing for you to be pointing out. It's because you're playing Pearl.
The better version. Because it has Glammeow. Do you know they messed up version exclusives in this game?
Yes.
How?
So Sfeel, the Sfeel line is exclusive to Pearl.
Yeah.
But they forgot to remove a wild Walrein from Diamond. So even though you can't get Sfeel and Walrein. Sfeel and Sfeelio in Diamond, you can find a wild Walrein.
Which I did.
And then catch it and then breed it. They actually messed up version exclusives because they forgot to remove Walrein.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was a recent update to my version of the game, so maybe they removed that.
It is wild to me of how broken this game has been.
I have not had any breaks.
I cannot reproduce any of the bugs I've gotten.
Well, you've reproduced.
Kind of sus.
You've run into that one where you can't walk through certain patches of grass.
Yes.
There's the invisible barrier
there.
Yeah,
that one's easy to fix. You hit, like, the Y button to, like, toggle it. It's still dumb, though, but...
But, yeah, no, like, that's one of the things that you'll run into where you just are running to a piece of grass and suddenly you're stopped for no reason. You're just like, why can't I get to it? Because I've seen people who are running to shiny patches and it has the invisible wall around it.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that you guys use me as the excuse to complain about Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl.
Oh, yeah.
That's not. How is that a complaint? It's an actual bug that people are running into.
Well, you're pushing the game to its limits. I don't know. I have not run into any. I haven't had any of these problems.
You haven't radar yet. That problem is specifically when you're radar hunting.
And you didn't acknowledge
it. I probably never will. There's another game coming out in like 3 weeks that I gotta make time to play. You know.
I will say that 1.1.3, which is the update. So they did some slight magic where the underground doesn't feel as unbearable when you're walking through it, because like when you would walk through like the caverns, we talked about this before, you felt like you were like getting stuck to all the walls, or like the walls would like pull you in.
You did. I used the D-pad and never had that problem.
You know what?
But sure.
Well, I made a D-pad. I made a video about using the D-pad in the underground just for you, and I literally could not walk through two rocks.
Why would you waste your time making videos for somebody who will never watch?
Because then we can talk to them and everybody can know what type of person you are. Because they'll say, what is Will talking about? There's a video about how that's messed up. And he keeps going on about how the D-pad is a serious way. It is to undercut your credibility further.
Well, I've got no credibility in this
I know.
Community.
And
Let's
now
be
we're
honest.
Going into Negi numbers.
Hey, that video got a lot of views. I was very happy with it. And I watched it back and it made me laugh. I will say a lot of the bugs in the game just do make me laugh. Like, they're very funny. These games are bad.
They're not bad. They're just not
I'm
great.
I'm having a fantastic time. I am absolutely loving my experience.
They're bad, but for some reason, there's like a slight charm where I kept playing them, unlike Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire. Must have just been like the time and place I was in where I just threw my hands up in the air and I was like, I'll come back to these games in like 2 years.
But also, you weren't playing them for people.
I wasn't playing them on Twitch.
So you have to sort of take the audience. Like, if you're sitting at home alone and you had nobody
I mean, I still had the, I was still doing the podcast. You know, we were still talking
well,
about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so am I.
Well, you weren't, you weren't on the show when Will and I were talking about Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire.
Correct. And I had opinions. Believe me, I was talking at you all during that whole section.
Game.
But no, I mean, I also had to play the game for the podcast. And it is a different experience day to day to be like, do I want to pick this up and do whatever with all by myself? Or are there other things I'd rather be doing? And that's sort of the dilemma that also was the tweet today. Like, I have multiple classes I want to level in Final Fantasy XIV. And normally I'm at the point where Final Fantasy XIV wouldn't have the draw that it has because, oh, I have another new playthrough of Pokemon to do. And I'm not feeling that pull at all for Shiny Pearl. Like, I just am not in a spot where I'm like, I want to go through this long story again.
Here's what I'll say. Like, because I feel like people listen or they think it's like super unfair or like we just hate these games. If I look at the last two Pokemon, let's skip Let's Go just for the sake of the conversation. Let's look at Ultra Sun and Moon and Sword and Shield. Like story-wise, journey-wise, through the three of those games, the third game being Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl, like fine. Like I think if you're buying a Pokemon game for the story and you just want to experience eight gyms and an Elite Four, I think all are pretty equally fine. Like, I think all those games have a point where it's like, ugh, what's happening right now? But for the most part, the story beats of, like, new gym, new Pokemon, that stuff. Like, it does what it needs to do. I think then, like, the shiny hunting, again, same thing. Whether or not you liked SOS, or you liked chain fishing, or you liked hordes, or you liked whatever method, you're going to gravitate towards one, and a lot of people gravitate towards radar. And it so, again, like, I think the shiny hunting equal across all of them. Like, it's just like, if you like shiny hunting, this is a thing you like shiny hunting. But you're probably biased towards a shiny hunting method. It might happen to be radar. It might happen to be SOS. It might happen to be Masuda. But so for story and for shiny hunting, I think you could take it or leave it with all three of these games. I think where Diamond and Pearl starts to fall apart for me is completing the actual decks. In Sword and Shield, incredibly enjoyable. In Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, also incredibly enjoyable. And I think what Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon did well is not only provide tons of Pokemon throughout the four different islands, but they broke it down into four different islands, which made it very, like, not like baby's first Pokemon, but it, like, psychology-wise, it was like, I'm just going to focus on Island 1, and then I'm going to focus on Island 2, and because I did both of these, oh my gosh, Island 3 is almost done. Like, it was very obtainable, and Sword and Shield did that a different way, which was like through max raid battles. Hey, I don't have a Sirfetch, but somebody else has a Sirfetch, and they're inviting me to their raid. There is none of that in Diamond and Pearl. It is old school, and maybe people like that. It is old school of like, I need to search forever in the underground for one single Pokemon, and then I gotta go up and I gotta breed it because they've only given me the middle evolution, and half of this Pokedex is trade evolutions at this point, and half this Pokedex needs Dark Claw or Dusk Stone, or like, or I need six Moonstones, but the only way I can do that is by going to the cave and thiefing Clefairies for 6.5 hours. Like, the Pokedex isn't even, for me, fun to complete. And then you look at the competitive sense of things. Again, in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, at the time, they really pushed the boundaries to lower those barriers to get you into competitive. And then in Sword and Shield, they were like, we're crushing that even more, and we're making it even easier to get into competitive. And then they took it a step further with Isle of Armor and Crown Tundra, and they're like, we really want you to get into competitive. How else can we make this easy? And then Diamond and Pearl was like, we do not want you to ever buy Earthquake as a TM. And you only get one of them, and it's 80 battle points, so you can spend 6 hours trying to get 80 battle points for Earthquake, or you can spend another 7 hours. Like, you can't even get good IV Pokemon through the system they do. With, like, in Sword and Shield, I could just go, like, I need a good Durant for competitive. Oh, there's a Durant raid right here. Guaranteed 4 IVs. Oh, after I complete the raid, I can power it up to 100. Take it to the place. Bottle cap 2 of them. okay, we're good to go. Like, I have unlimited TMs. Like, I have played this game for 100 hours. I have not gotten a single Pokemon to level 100. I don't know how to do it. I was like, I'll grind Pachirisu in the underground. That ain't happening. Do the gym leader rematches. That ain't happening. Like, and I did the math. I did the math. Getting like 1,400 experience from Pachirisu. What's his name? Roark? Tyranitar? 4,000 experience. Great. Next Pokemon, 1,200. Next Pokemon, 1,200. Next Pokemon, 1,100. Next Pokemon, 1,200. You're better off doing Pachirisu. You just are. Like,
yeah.
And Pachirisu is not even the best Pokemon in the underground. Like, actually, Houndoom gives more experience. It gives you 1,400. I think Pachirisu gives you 1,300. The post-game art of Diamond and Pearl just doesn't do it for me. But, like I said earlier, if you're into shiny hunting, yeah, the game's fine. If you're into just playing the game from start to finish and experience the story, the game is fine. It's just all these little things that, like, I am looking for as a hardcore player is, like, they just dropped the ball on in the weight of, like, quote-unquote faithful. No, you can't say a game is faithful, put bottle caps in and ability patches in, and then decide to ignore everything else that made recent Pokemon games great. You don't get away. I mean, they got away with it, but it's unacceptable.
Got away with it because there's no competitive.
But also, there are certain things that, like, I am actively trying to get my hands on Moonstones, and it's when they cut back on quality of life things too far. The fact that I can't go somewhere post game and buy evolution stones, that I'm forced to go into the underground for a random chance to find them, or I have to spend, as I have been, hours and hours and hours in Mount Coronet trying to steal from Clefairy to get an evolution stone.
I did that, like, too.
These aren't fun things.
Just think how happy you'll be when you get it.
I'm not, because the time to reward ratio is terrible.
You need to reorient joy.
I've gotten three of them, and I'm like, well, I need to get at least two more for everything that needs a moonstone, so I'm back here for X amount of hours. And the thing is I do it while I'm watching TV, so I can't even really say that I'm enjoying the game. I'm doing literally anything else while I keep my hands busy grinding in a game.
Classic Pokemon. Experience.
It is classic Pokemon experience that we've moved past. And that's sort of what's...
You have, not me.
Yeah, but you also play at a freaking snail's pace.
Exactly.
Like, you play for exactly 2 minutes a day, and you're like, well, that's the 2 minutes of excitement I have in my life today.
I play for 45 minutes a day.
Yeah, that's nothing.
You just makes me think about the underground and the statue stuff. I have never expanded my statue base. I have the smallest base possible. And I have almost every type. And I haven't even farmed that many statues. And if you put a bunch of, like, Gligars and Garchomps in your base, you'll see that little thing that increases. And it's like one arrow, two arrow, three arrow. Three arrows max. So
yeah.
I can get the three arrows without expanding my base, but just by putting the 16 Garchomp statues I have, because I keep getting Garchomp. And so now I have max ground, and I'm running around, and it just doesn't feel like it does anything. Like, I'm looking for Gastrodon, and it's like, I put all the Vaporeons in. Okay, now I have max water, and no Gastrodon are spawning. And then I put all the Garchomps in, and now it's like, max ground. You can only do one type. You can't, like, ground water. And Gastrodon's not spawning. And it's like, I have no reason to expand the base, because why would I? Because I can only put statues in. And I already have, it can't go to four, it can't go to five, it can only go to three. I can do three in the smallest space. What am I getting these statues for? What are they actually doing? Why do I care? Like, I don't want to keep farming into the, I just want a sunstone. I don't even know where that is. I'm just sick of getting Anorith fossils and Lucario statues. I cannot do anything with these. I need money. Give me nuggets. Give me, like, literally anything else. And the game is just like, this is what you get to do post game. I'm over it. Like, even with max raid battles, I was like, cool, I don't have this Pokemon. Hey, this could be hidden ability. Hey, even though I do not need this Ludicolo, I want the hydro pump it's going to drop. I want the candy it's going to drop. I want the chance of a bottle cap it's going to drop. Like, there's just such a disconnect in, like, the... Every Pokemon game is incredibly repetitive. There is a loop that you go through. This is not exclusive to Pokemon. This is exclusive... Like, Final Fantasy XIV mm-hmm. has this. Diablo has this. Halo has this. Destiny has this. League of Legends has this. Every game has a loop, and the loop of serotonin you get in Diamond and Pearl is, like, non-existent. It is just frustration. Sword and Shield was very good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also... And you're, like, you had the Leafstone problem. I have a Sunstone problem. I have so many Sunstones that I found in the underground, I can't find a single Moonstone in there. But I got nothing but Sunstones. Why?
To encourage trading, I guess?
And why don't the vendors down there sell stones?
They sell TMs, which used to be unlimited for 24 years, and for whatever reason, they're not unlimited in this game.
Can't one of them sell stones?
Well, since Black and White, I should say.
Please? And people are like, oh, I can't believe you hate these games so much. I don't hate the games. I have 90 hours into it. But there's a frustration level that I hit with all Pokemon games where I'm like, I need to put this down for a while. And I hit it faster in Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl than I have in any previous game.
Also, to the people that are like, Pachirisu, bad way to level up. Gym leaders, bad way to level up. I did do the math on all these. There is a trainer in the post-game area. She has a Ambipom, a Rapidash, and a Chansey. She's, like, maybe the best for experience. But you have to just, like, ride your bike back and forth, hit the Verse Seeker, battle her, ride your bike back. And I think the Chansey gives, like, maybe 3,000. But also at that point, it's like, well, 3,000, that's, like, two Houndooms. So you could, like, take her to leave it. There's, like, a Salamence trainer that somebody suggested. It's not better than the Chansey. Like, look, you'd be like, we'll battle the Elite Four. Like... No, again, it's like the same gym leader problem. It's like, yeah, I could battle the Elite Four, but how am I supposed to get from 60 to 77 without grinding something? And then the Elite Four, yeah, they give like decent experience, they give like decent money, but they also are annoying. Like they do have strategies and setups and items and berries, and they will waste your resources of like, well, I'll need to use a Hyper Potion or I'll need to use a Revive. Like, there is, if you're just looking to level mindlessly, the Elite Four is not the answer. And then there's also the money problem in the game, which I think, again, I talk about this a lot. People sometimes overlook the economy of a video game, and the economy of a video game is very important. Like, if I run out of money, that's a problem. If I have too much money, that's a problem. There should be a good loop of, like, my time spent earning getting this money is worth it for my time spent what I'm spending the money on, and that should go in a full circle. And I think Sword and Shield really did a good job with that economy. Not only were there different ways to make money, but there were different ways you could make money per your enjoyment. If you wanted to go the luxury ball route, or if you wanted to like go the digger duo route, or if you wanted to go the like just battle the champion, like there's multiple ways to make money. In this game, there's one way to make money, and it's the two old people down by the trophy garden. They give you $24,000 with amulet coin once you catch Heatran. For whatever reason, when you catch Heatran, you get more money from those people, and they could easily make this game better. If they were like version 1.1.4, let's replace the Roselia and the Chatot that these two old people have with a Chansey and a Blissey. They fix so many problems by doing that of like, not only are you getting 24K per, and for the record, I'm pretty sure the Elite Four members give you 26K. So in your head, think about this. I can knock out one Chatot for 24K, or I can suffer through Aaron's six bug team Pokemon for 26K. Like the time spent per money, you're better off just knocking out the Chatot. But if they gave those people one a Blissey and one a Chansey, not only would you be getting like 3,000 to 6,000 experience depending on Blissey or Chansey, you would also get that money, and it would fix the leveling problem in the game, and it would like make the money problem more enjoyable. There is one Blissey trainer in this entire game and they are in Victory Road, and Verse Seeker does not work in caves. It is so mind-blowing and frustrating that was a conscious choice that was made. And then people are like, well, you're just hard on the games. Like, do you know how many times I battled Charles and his gosh darn Chatot? I'm sick of seeing him. But there's no way to make money. There's just no way to make money in the game. Question of the week.
All right.
Ask me the question of the week.
I'm proud of myself
on my vacation for posting. Remembering to post this on a Wednesday, so everybody should be proud of me.
This is from Dudley. If you were a Frontier Brain, what would your title be? Factory Head, Dome Ace, Arcade Star, Tower Tycoon, and what would your battle facilities gimmick be? I'm not too familiar with the Battle Frontier stuff.
Mm-mm.
That was Emerald, right?
Yeah. Oof. God, there's so many good options. So definitely I would have a whole, my whole thing would be bring back rotation battles. Oh, so gross. My gimmick would be rotation battles. Because nobody uses them. But I'm trying to think of what would my building look like? Because they're always like, you know, Tower Tycoon factory. Like, Nolan was in a factory, and Tucker was in the dome.
There was, like, Thornton,
Brandon had
right?
a pyramid?
Yeah, Brandon had a pyramid. Annabelle was in the salon. Spencer was in the palace. Maybe I'd put it in a castle? Fit my whole D&D theme?
So you would have, like, a chestnut, a Delphox,
Yeah, and Greninja.
Is Ninja a D&D rotation character?
Yeah, the Rogue.
Oh, Rogue.
And Rowlet's a Ranger.
Uh-huh.
Primarina's the Bard.
This is a pretty good name. Sableye for a Goblin.
Incineroar's the Monk.
Can you be a Goblin in D&D?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Sableye.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot, like, those six starters all sort of like the D&D classic ones. So I would probably be, I would say Castle King, and it would be rotation battles. It would all be D&D themed. That's my answer. Welcome to my battle frontier.
That's pretty good. I like that. I feel like Will's would be like a workout gym.
Nope.
Skate park.
No.
Thrasher Ace Will.
It would be based on, and of course, I can't think of the word. What is it called when you kind of like get rid of all the unnecessary things and you only keep the essentials in your life?
Minimalism?
Minimalism.
Marie Kondo.
So it'd be like minimalist design Will. And I'd
they would approach a square box.
It would basically be a tiny house or a container.
You can bring one Pokemon in here and it can only know metronome.
There would be very like refined, nice shaker furniture, shaker stat. And it would be like, yes, it would be what you get one Pokemon. You have to pick your essential Pokemon that is the most important to you. And I will pick one Pokemon and we shall battle. The single battle, and that
single,
Pokemon
single,
can only
one Pokemon.
That Pokemon can only know metronome.
Yep. One move, metronome.
Do you? This is like an anime thing, but I remember when like Ash battled Misty, and they battled
which time.
They battled which time?
Because that's happened a bunch.
They battled in the Cerulean gym in the pool.
Yeah, in the aquarium.
And I thought it was so cool that, like, he had to be like, well, I need a Pokemon that can, like, stand on this platform, or I just need a Pokemon that can straight up swim. And then I think about, like, later on, when he gets to, like, this is, like, the Indigo League, when he gets to, like, the Elite Four, or not the Elite Four, but, like, he's in that tournament, and the terrain, like, made him question his Pokemon choices. It's weird to me that there's not, like, you walk into a water gym and they're like, oh, this is an aquarium fight, so you can only use, like, I guess I kind of did that in X and Y with, like, sky battles.
Yeah,
but they
so
did
you're,
it so badly.
You so your sky battle with Cramorant.
Yeah.
What's your place look like?
I want it
is
to
it
look
a
like
skyscraper?
We'll do sky battles. We'll do sky battles. So okay. You're only limited birds. And then I
or
want
things that can levitate, because that was that counted.
Yeah, that counted too. Yeah, yeah. But Hawlucha could not perform in sky battles. Whatever. No Hawlucha.
No Hawlucha.
I want it to look like the giant pyramid ship in Destiny.
I don't know what that looks like. Now I have to look it up.
You mean, oh, the bad guys.
Yeah.
Like the bad
yeah,
guys.
Yeah. The bad guys. I don't remember
what
they
called.
I need
to get back into Destiny, but I don't want pay.
No, it's free.
Is it Destiny 1 or Destiny 2?
Destiny 2.
Pyramids.
Is it this sort of big...
It's basically just a big black pyramid.
Yeah, that's got lights on it. Ooh, it's cool.
Yeah.
All right, so they see the shadow on the ground, and then you teleport them up.
Yeah, because the pyramid is also levitating. Right.
Right. So you walk under it, and there's like a little teleportation circle, and you go up to face... What is your title?
What are they called? Bird keepers in the game? That's a bad title.
It is. But would you be pyramid? Because there's already a pyramid king, Brandon. So what are
levitation
the ships called?
Do they have guru?
Oh, there we go. Levitation guru.
I don't like the word guru.
Levitation master.
Yeah, I guess that's okay. I feel like master is very generic, but that's a very Pokemon word. They like the word thug for bad guys, like the word master for...
Well, you could also be an ace, levitation ace.
Ooh, that's really good. The L.A.
The L.A. Steve.
The levitation ace. I do like ace.
Do the pyramids have a name? Are they called something? Or are they just called pyramid ships?
I think they're called something, but I can't remember.
Well, pyramid fleet, black fleet.
Yeah, they're still like... telling that story in Destiny. I don't think
they're bad guys.
Yeah, they're bad okay. guys. The darkness. Don't want to go too long, so one question
one
of the week this week. Will, what's our Pokemon of the week?
All right, last week's Pokemon of the week was a really short clue. I'll just read it again. In December 2020, the last evolution of this line was featured. In December 2021, the first in the line was featured. What is the middle evolution, whose alternate form is not available in Sinnoh, but is available in Kanto for this Pokemon line?
It's...
Torracat.
That's not available in Sinnoh.
It's Graveler.
Graveler is the correct answer, sir. Yes, congratulations.
Didn't we just do Geodude the other day?
That's the whole point of the clue, my friend.
I will say, I often like my middle evolutions. I am not a fan of the middle evolution of regular Graveler, but I love the Alolan version.
Yeah, the Alolan one's good.
I really like the Alolan one. And I don't really know, like, maybe it's the spikies that make it feel sort of rocky extra. The shuffle icon is outstanding, as always. I think it's because it's got this angry unibrow that I'm really into.
Yeah, the unibrow's good.
And it's got a it's the little gold nugget is so cute.
Know that the Pokemon has the same type combination as Alolan Graveler. Graveler is very similar to Boldore, both are rock-type Pokemon introduced in an odd number of generations. Base stat total of 390, evolve at 25, then can evolve again at trading. Alolan Graveler and its evolutionary relatives were divided by Hito. Well, we talked about this last time with them.
Yep.
Dude.
Graveler is the only Pokemon unavailable using the Pika Cup. What's the Pika Cup?
It was a certain Stadium Cup in Stadium 1 and 2.
Oh.
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
There's nothing.
All right. Greg, get ready to take notes.
Okay, hold on.
I recently have been listening to the Pokemon podcast series Sincerely Sinnoh. And increasingly have been motivated to write a Dear Idiots letter to the two hosts of the program for the number of misunderstandings they have about the Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl Pokemon video games.
Yeah, tell them.
This morning, I heard them describe their experiences in the Candelave City Gym, where they encountered a former water-type Pokemon, which, according to them, does not match the steel type of the gym. They even went so far to state that the Pokemon is now actually weak to steel type and was only included to contribute towards the player's Pokedex completion, completely ignoring that this is nothing new. Many Pokemon, even going back to the Pewter City Gym, included type effectiveness weaknesses. If they had only bothered to scratch the slightest bit beneath the surface, they would have realized that the Pokemon they so willfully maligned could actually learn a Steel-type move, Iron Tail. I don't know why I wrote Aqua Tail. Iron Tail, via TM in Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, and can also learn another Steel-type move, Steel Roller, via Move Tutor in Sword and Shield.
Stretching.
Unfortunately, because the dubious duo recording the Sincerely Sinnoh podcast have so many inaccurate and problematic opinions, I neither have sufficient time nor blue ink to pen a corrective missive.
Stretch.
That is your clue for the week. Thank you.
Stretching. Look at him reach. Look at him reach for the tiniest fruit.
I actually know what this is.
Well, congratulations, because my clue was good and it led you in the right direction.
Stretching.
None of our listeners appreciate your commentary on my fantastic Pokemon of the Week clues. Thank you.
It's a reach.
Thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. I will still be streaming the last couple of days here of the 2021 on Twitch, and then I'll be taking a little bit of time off to celebrate my anniversary with my wife. So if you want to come by and see me get frustrated playing Diamond and Pearl, I am a bundle of laughs. Twitch.tv/PKMNcast. Same for Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, all that stuff. Actually should, in a couple days, be putting a YouTube video of like 10 things you probably didn't know about Diamond and Pearl that I'll put out and hopefully be informative and not negative. Hopefully that video will give you some more enjoyment out of those games. We can only hope. So keep your eyes up for that. This is our last podcast of the year, so thank you, everyone. I think we're ending the year with 500 patrons, which is the most patrons we've ever had. So thank you so much to anyone who supports the show. Really means a lot. I do know at the first of the year, people like start cutting Netflix or Hulu. Don't cut the Patreon. I prompt, like, there's a new Pokemon game coming out at the end of January. Now's not the time to cut. We should be doing some exciting things for Arceus. I really hope it's good. You know, sometimes a Pokemon game is a bummer. Sometimes a Pokemon game runs out of steam, but like, at least on this show, I never want a Pokemon game to be bad. Really want a Cafe Mix to be good. They just didn't make it vertical, made it horizontal.
Oh my word.
Sometimes you
get my pen and paper.
Sometimes you make mistakes.
Write another letter.
Otherwise, you know, we'll be back, next week on the 3rd. I believe we have some new sponsors and stuff lined up for the new year, too, for ads. If you're listening to the, we got a lot of new sponsors. So we'll see how that goes. But to anyone listening, thank you so much. I hope you had a great holiday. I hope you have a happy new year. If you ever need to reach out to any three of us, you can add us on Twitter. Will is at Wash in the Sink. I am at Dragging a Lake. Greg's at White Wing. Love to hear from you. You can also pop into my Twitch chat if you want to. Always super nice to see people pop in like, hey, podcast listener. Hey, been listening a long time. First time here. Slack is really great. Discord is really great. All that stuff. So have a happy new year. Thank you for listening. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast. And we are
super effective.
Super hat Pokemon forever.
Thank you.
This podcast is supported by Patreon. If you would like to support It's Super Effective, you can head over to patreon.com/pkmncast. A huge shout out to our Patreon producers, starting with Steven, Sean, Matthew, Bovine, Kay, Jessica, Jacob, Brian, Evan, Ryan, Patrick, Nate, Catherine, Casey, Josh, Gray, Dylan, Carlos, Alvaro, and a shout out to our executive producers of Steph, Spencer, Courtney, and Brady. Thank you so much for your support. It is greatly appreciated. And we couldn't do the show without you guys. Thank you again, and we will see you next week.